Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food podcast. I am your host, Chef Jeff Fell, and today is a very special episode because we are here live recording in Muskegon, Michigan, the home of Structural Concepts. So if you notice the background's a little bit different than the normal kitchen, that's why. So we're here in their customer innovation showroom. And who is Structural Concepts? Well, they're the premier supplier within the refrigerated and heated fresh food and beverage display and merchandise category. And they've been doing this for over 50 years. And with me today, it's a pleasure to have Danielle McMiller, the Vice President of Marketing. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Danielle, and thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
So before we get into who Structural Concepts is, this is our first time meeting. So I got to know a little bit about who you are, just to make it a little less informal. So maybe give the 30,000 foot of your background and what kind of led you here to Structural Concepts.
Well, I was led to Structural Concepts in my very early days of high school.
Wow.
So I started at Structural Concepts in 1983. I've been here for 41 years. I've seen the company go through a lot of different changes in the organization, and of course, in our products as well, a lot of innovation, and also seen us go into different markets. From where we started in the very beginning, we weren't in the food industry. We were actually in the furniture industry.
Really?
And we moved into the food industry in the late 80s. And then really that became our best. It became where our products fit the best. And we sold off the furniture division. So I've been here since my junior year of high school. I started as a co-op back in the day when they brought in marketing people and said, hey, come in and help us. And that's what I did. And I've never left.
So this is all you know, realistically, because normally people in this industry, they have some tale that they've spun and they went here, especially marketing. You know, mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of different marketing folks, and it's funny, like, sometimes it's not even food, right? Because marketing is a little more pliable, malleable mm-hmm. than, oh, you're a chef or if you're something more in the weeds in food. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of interesting to mm-hmm. hear that you've literally seen it from
very beginning
to where it is now. So what would you say, since you've seen that over these years, what's kind of the secret to success? What's the secret sauce, mm-hmm. you know, that Structural Concepts has got?
So I think that, you know, obviously we have great products and they've evolved over the years, but the secret to SCC and any company for that matter is really leadership. You understand where the market's going, you understand what the customers are looking for, you listen, and you evolve. And as you evolve through those changes, your products change, technology comes into the forefront, you integrate that into your product. But it really boils down to having, you know, good leadership that has a vision, that likes to look forward and makes sure that the company is moving toward that vision every time. And it's always changing.
What is that vision here at Structural Concepts? Because I've talked to this, I think, in previous podcasts about how, yeah, you have to have that kind of culture that when you walk in, everyone's driven. I was actually with Tractor Beverage last week, and they said the same thing. Everyone's on the same type mission. So if you had to sum up for here, what would that kind of message and vision be?
Yeah, so I think the vision here has always been very culturally driven around product innovation, wanting to always be on that leading edge of innovation. So that drives a lot of us to look for what that is. But it also leads to making sure from a strategic sense, we all understand and we're aligned to the overall mission of the company, which is to really develop new products and bring them to market. So the core of all of it is wanting to always do better and always wanting to come up with what's next. And sometimes that's great because you can come up with some really cool ideas. Other times you got to kind of put a tamper on it and say, listen, okay, let's get these four things across the market, out to the field, get them selling before we look for the next four things. Because it's always fun to look for the new ideas.
Of course.
So the culture is very, very product innovative, new product development oriented. And that's been from the very beginning. since I started here.
Yeah, it's hard to put the brakes because innovate. That's the fun part of the industry, mm-hmm. right? Of kind of conceptualizing what can we do and what do customers want. But in the reality, there's still the business, the day-to-day that has to get done. Absolutely. And if it doesn't get executed, there is no business.
Right.
So you have to do that. And just looking around, again, I knew Structural Concepts had, you know, I've been in the education space and knowing a lot of the different merchandisers and things, mm-hmm. there's a lot more around that I'm like, oh, there's a deli case. I bet those are probably in the grocery stores mm-hmm. that I see. So maybe talk about some of the different products that you guys do carry and some of the different segments that it touches.
Yeah, so we started out in the supermarket industry primarily, started out just doing bakery in the supermarket industry. And then we expanded into deli because, you know, we know refrigeration. Our core goes back to being refrigeration company. And it has expanded since then. So we started out in bakery, went into deli, in the supermarkets, and now we're in many different areas of the supermarket. But we then expanded into the food service arena, which is everything schools, hospitals, travel and entertainment locations, airports and stadiums, corporate cafeterias, you know, restaurants, of course, and C-stores. And we went into that area in early 2000. And that's where you start to see the innovation of ARM, which I know we're going to go over. The grab and go became, you know, the big thing. Everybody wanted grab and go.
Yeah.
But at the core of it all really comes to being that refrigeration company to start with. And if I go back a few decades, I guess now, because I shouldn't say a few years, one of the biggest things that probably propelled Structural in being a refrigeration company is we decided that we were going to be manufacturing our refrigeration systems here, not necessarily just buying them off the shelf. So it allowed us to be an inventor, if you will, to inventing the condensing unit, inventing what it can do and what parameters it can fill. And it gave us more flexibility to design equipment that's open front or closed front or tall grab and go or short grab and go. And because we had that flexibility, we were able to just expand quickly into all different types of products and markets.
So you've always had that vertical supply chain then with mm-hmm. your refrigeration.
Being here.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people understand how big of a deal that really mm-hmm. is. When you're waiting for someone else or products, especially like when we hit COVID, right? Things kind of shut down. And if you were dependent on someone overseas or somewhere else,
it was
good luck. Good luck, right? The shipping containers were getting stuck at ports. Air freight went through the roof. All freight went through the roof, to be honest. And I got introduced through all the equipment. I'd always kind of been around it in higher education, but when you then become the person in charge and have to find the equipment, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to use Structural Concepts and working with different folks, whether that be the architects or brokers or distributors. You're going to use them, and they custom make everything. I'm like, wait, what do you mean they custom make? Yeah, you tell us what size and what you need, and they'll make it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, wait, that's not the way this works. And they're like, no, that is exactly. So maybe I want to go into that so people understand how you're able to do that and how that makes this much more flexible and customizable mm-hmm. to the customer.
So we engineer everything completely. But what we do is we engineer a lot of different options. So if you're looking at a piece of equipment, like what's behind me or the deli case is over here, when you order that, you have lots of options to pick from. But they're all engineered. So really what it is it comes in and it's made to order here at the time of the order, but it's configured by you, the operator. Pick all your options, mm-hmm. determine what you want, send us the PO, and then we combine all those engineered options and turn it into an end item part number that goes out to the floor to get built. So even through supply chain disruptions or challenges or just in normal times, we've always had best-in-class lead times because of that. So to an operator, it looks totally customized because it is. It's got mm-hmm. the color you want. It's got the options you want. But to us, it's basically made to order based on a configuration of stuff that's already engineered. So we don't start from a blank piece of paper when your order comes in. We're all prepared, but there's a lot of engineered options that are already done ahead of time before this equipment goes to market.
So it's the MTO of equipment, right? Uh-huh. You're out in an operation and you're building a pasta bar, but this is just for equipment. It's like pick and choose what you want, build it. And then it goes. I know that was fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Again, when I was at one of my universities, when I heard about like the condenser sweep,
clean sweep.
Because I remember being at other ones and always having to go behind and it's just clunked with gunk and then it gets really loud and makes a lo- loud humming noise. Yeah. And it was the most annoying thing. And I was like, well, what does this thing do? And they tell me, oh, it's like, it cleans it for you. And I was like, what? You mean I don't have to get under there and do all that? So maybe talk about some of the specific features that you have on some of your equipment. From there's the pull down piece. There's so many things, but features. I don't think people understand how many different cool things that there are that can be added. So maybe touch on some of the some of the cool ones.
So let me go back just regarding refrigeration. So as I mentioned before, we decided many years ago to do our own refrigeration systems here. And because we decided to do that, we designed them, we engineered them, and then we assembled them. We had flexibility to do things. So when we wanted to clean the coil, we could come up with a solution for it because we did everything right here. Same thing, we'll talk about this probably in a little bit, but you know, when regulatory things change, if it changes, we just shift, adjust, change something, and we're ready to go. So the condensing unit that was developed was all developed on a pan system that basically slides out. And as it's underneath the, every one of the refrigerated units, you take off the front panel, the whole condensing unit slides out, and it's easy to service and maintain. Fundamentally, it's difficult to do that if you're not building your own condensing units because you got to figure out how you can make it slide out without issues. If you slide that out multiple times, you could have issues with the refrigeration lines kinking or causing leaks. So a lot of development went into how to do that. That was all part of that refrigeration expertise. So the condensing unit that's in the base of the units, take the front panel off, no tools required, just pop the panel off, and the condensing unit slides out. If it's a service case, it slides out from the back. If it's a grab-and-go case, it slides out from the front. Everything is right in front of you for the service technician or for anybody that just needs to look down and go, what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, the clean sweep option was came out of some great times traveling over to Europe, going to trade shows, looking for ideas. We saw some ideas there and went, wow, why don't we do something to clean that condenser coil? Because we know that's what operators struggle with the most. And given that the condensing unit's on the floor, it has a tendency to build up a lot more dust and debris because people are walking by it. And as you said, it gets noisy. The temperatures start to warm up in the case when it's not cleaned out. So we just took a brush mechanism and basically mounted it on the sides of the coil, and it goes down and up once a day to break anything that's on the condenser coil fins free, and then allows it to fall down below. And people will say to me, well, where does it go? Well, it just falls down. It doesn't turn into fairy dust, doesn't go away, but it doesn't ever build up because every day you're breaking it off the coils. So that's the whole key to that. But the clean sweep option really comes back to building your own condensing units. Because if you were buying them, you don't have as much flexibility with design to figure out how do you mount that to the front of the condenser coil. So that's fundamental to everything we do. We call it Breeze. And then we have another version of it called Breeze E that's for the higher ambient environments.
Okay.
And higher ambient environments are defined by NSF as 80 degrees Fahrenheit, 55% relative humidity. And realistically, it's the environment that we all work in.
Right.
As a chef or as an operator, your location is probably not controlled to 75, 55, 24/7.
No way.
So we developed Breeze E, again, enhancing some things to make sure that this equipment will work in those environments without problems. And that's all part of that flexibility to shift, adjust, and, you know, redo things as we need to.
Yeah, and it keeps the, maybe it's not that it keeps it quiet, but they're really quiet compared to other units I've used that are just loud and they drum. And then usually the technician will say, oh, yeah, it's all gunked up and it's dirty and that's causing things to work harder and the compressor to work harder. They're quiet.
They're quiet,
like,
right.
Like, sitting here, and they're on. They're just quiet. You can't really tell that they're functioning. And for me, you know, when in higher education, that's a big thing. Like, nobody wants that rattling noise for their experience. Mm-hmm. It's a minor detail, but it's one that I think people thought, oh, their machine's making noise, and it drives them nuts. What else kind of cool? We're going to get into the really cool thing here in a minute. But what other features you got? I know there's, like, roll-down cages, they can lock, all sorts of other things.
There's so on our open units, open grab-and-go is obviously one of the biggest things that's out there still these days. We have a door that rolls down, that pulls down. It's actually stored up in the header, and it pulls down, locks. That becomes your security cover. So one of the challenges operators typically have with security covers is you put it on, you lock it up, and then at the end of the next day, you got to take it off. And then where do you put it?
Yeah.
if it's a big unit, if this is a 3 foot behind me, but if you had an 8 foot unit, yep. that set, what do you do with those pieces? So we developed a roll down cover that's kind of like the tambour covers on the piano, a roll down yep. cover. But when you're not using it, it rolls up into the header. When you're using it, you pull it down, you lock it, and you're good to go. So that became a really popular feature as well. And most people go that direction versus the removable direction. There's also night curtains, we call them. They're pull-down night curtains. They just are there to help with efficiency at night. Or if you're in a location where you don't necessarily need the security, but you want to make it look like the equipment's closed up, mm-hmm. you can pull the night curtain down. And that just rolls down, magnetizes to the lower section of the display area.
It's almost like a shade, right?
It's like a shade, yeah.
It just pulls down almost like a roller shade. Yeah, that's like, what it feels like almost when you pull it down and then it just yeah. clips
in. It's time
in.
To go to bed, you shut the unit exactly. up and you're ready to go.
Yeah, I love those, especially the security feature. That is a big thing, mm-hmm. especially again in our sector, the education sector. Most of these aren't in like a super secure environment. And unfortunately, there are people that wander those buildings and they go, oh, look, there's something to eat or something right. to drink. And they just want to grab, whereas it's just roll yeah. it down. Because I've had the removable ones. And they are a pain. And it was on a 6 foot unit.
Yeah. Where do you put it when you're not using it?
I was in a very small space. I don't even know where. We shoved it behind something. But I had the ladies that worked for me. It was very difficult for them mm-hmm. to get these pieces off. Then the locks were always breaking.
Yep.
And then it was like, okay, well, now we're just putting these up and it's not even locked. And we hope people just that it's the
keep
secure.
The honest people honest.
Yeah.
Right.
The honest people honest.
Yeah. yeah.
So what else does Structural Concepts do to maintain kind of a competitive balance? There's other people in this mm-hmm. space, right? And everybody wants a piece of their pie, but what do you all do specifically to kind of keep an advantage?
I'd go back to what our tagline says, delivering fresh always. Those words really do resonate around some key things. Delivering fresh relative to product innovation. We just talked about some of that. We've got some newer things that are coming out. That's part of our culture. Delivering fresh always with the always, it ties back to one of our goals around operational excellence, which is always deliver the best in class lead times. So we're working hard to make sure that the components that we're using, the designs that we're using are all available through our supply chain so that in case there's ever a disruption like we just experienced with COVID and then some of the distribution channel challenges, we can weather that.
Mm-hmm.
So our operational excellence ties back to the best-in-class lead times, the highest quality, being vertically integrated within our facility so that when things do happen, we can shift. And I think that's really given us a huge competitive advantage. Not only is our product great, but the core of our business is great. And we're there to listen to the customer. We're there to make sure we're providing the equipment in a very stable, reliable delivery time frame.
Yeah, lead times. That's lead a dirty times. Word usually yes. In our space because lead times in equipment, they can be massive.
Oh, yeah. They can be a year.
You know, I'll talk to people and I'll be like, I need this piece of equipment. They're like, all right, cool. You're going to wait 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got 6 months. I got to get up and rolling. And they're like, well, you should have gotten your order in January. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get that in January for a fall opening, especially in the school setting?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that firsthand. We place an order and it was, I think, in our unit in like 3 weeks, which is incredible turnaround time mm-hmm. for some of these. I've had some nightmare issues this year alone with some things being on delay and the schools then start to get upset and angry and it's a manufacturer issue. And they're like, well, we need a part. You control all that. So you don't mm-hmm. have to worry about any of that.
Right.
So you mentioned COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump into the ARM, the mm-hmm. Autonomous Retail Merchandiser. And this was kind of born out of COVID as a whole. I think for context, it's good for people to know that, you know, COVID happened and everyone thought everything can't be out or in the air and everything needs to be wrapped up in some sort of cooler or device mm-hmm. because it's safer.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, we all kind of go, well, that was kind of silly,
mm-hmm.
but everybody went to it.
Yep.
I know we went to a lot of grab-and-go models. So let's talk about this ARM unit. Let's first explain kind of what it is and then kind of like what you saw out of kind of COVID to make this thing come to life.
Yeah, yeah. So out of COVID in particular came a lot of opportunity for people to want to go get their own things, grab and go,
mm-hmm.
but also the opportunity for places to not necessarily have the labor any longer to operate 24/7 or even, you know, select hours during the week. So from that came the need to bring more autonomous shopping to everywhere. I mean, whether it's a school or it's an airport, That whole concept was really kind of born out of that, with remote working happening and all that kind of stuff. So we learned to be more self-sufficient. We learned to want to be able to go get our own stuff. And we also learned in the industry, we just don't have the labor anymore to do what we need to do. Yeah. So coming out of that, we thought, well, we do grab-and-go equipment today. Why can't we come up with a solution that allows someone to walk up to a piece of equipment, take their credit card like a vending machine, but get some really good fresh food? So you're not getting one thing that falls from that spiral that falls down and then you walk away. So that was the whole concept, is like, how do we find that solution for the operator? So then the operator doesn't have to have someone there 24/7. Mm-hmm. And they can save the labor. They can obviously increase sales. They can serve customers and students faster, because it's becoming more of a common expectation to say, I'm thirsty, I want to go get this, or I'm hungry, I want to go get this. And being in this education environment, you can't have your food area open 24/7. Right. And you can't, you know, make food all the time. So it kind of came out of that whole concept. So we came up with a solution, partnering with a software company that we work with, and basically said, we got to put a door on it, because it's got to be locked when it's not being serviced or product taken from it. But let's find a way to let the software then speak to the door and unlock when you present a method payment, and then you take what you want. So it's conceptually that simple.
Simple, yeah.
Yeah, you walk up to it, you give it, you show your credit card or an app or your phone with your Apple Wallet in it, and you scan it, and the door unlocks. You take what you want, and you walk away, and you're charged for it.
That's super cool. So does it have I'm assuming it's got all the tech then to know what's being taken, and then that it's given the charge.
So it's load cell based. It's not camera based. So some of the solutions early on were camera based, which did work early on. But if you can imagine all the different products that are going in there with a camera, that camera has to pre-see all of the sides of that to know what it is. This is load cell based. So as you're loading it, you have a planogram, you tell it what's going in there, you put a few of them in there, it measures the weight, it knows, okay, that's what it is, it ties that together, and then as the product is taken out, it knows, okay, you took one, you took two, you took three.
Okay.
Restocking is just as easy. You go up to it, you say, I'm going to restock that tray, you put your food in, and off it goes. So it's very easy. The software behind it is all backed by some very strong programming that tells the operator, you've already sold five of these. It's, you know, if your restock level is at two, you're at two, go out and restock. So it gives all the data to the operator to know when to restock, how to change pricing from remotely, how to change products remotely, change product plans. So it's all managed from a remote location versus having to be there 24/7.
Because for multi-units, right, you're able to kind of master, see all this, and, hey, we need to take care of this. Hospitals, for example, right? You have a lot of outlets, and they're all over the place. And maybe you touched on it, that load-bearing versus cameras, but what else kind of separates your unit from, there's other competitors in this space, and I've seen some of them. So what makes Structural Concepts, the arm, different?
There's not too many of them that are load cell-based right now. The other equipment is what they call RFID, where every product has to have a tag on it. So you have to actually labor-wise physically tag every product. Remember back in the days, I don't know if you remember, but you used to have to go through the grocery store and tag everything.
Of course, you use the green gun, right?
The green gun,
you click and you...
Yeah, some people could do it pretty fast,
I'm older than I look, I promise you,
So that's RFID, and that's a lot of labor. So there's one disadvantage to that compared to the load cells that we offer. The other thing is size. The unit, the arm unit is about 40% more capacity than the other units. So if you're thinking about having to put this in a remote location, a hospital or a college campus, the last thing you want to do is go back and refill it all the time. So we've heard stories about other pieces of equipment that have gone out there to a college, university, multiple locations, and they were back there filling it, you know, once or even twice a day, which is great for their sales, but it's defeating the purpose of saving labor.
Exactly. Yeah, so, if you have to go constantly and refill, you've defeated the whole purpose, is to have enough stuff to cover a shift or, you know, whatever that cycle is, so that way you can use that labor elsewhere. And it's one of those labor things, a cashier, it's one of those hard labors to justify, because they're just standing there.
Waiting
for someone to come, and if they're not there, well, then now there can be theft, and now you're going to have massive amounts of loss just from that. So it's a big deal. And I think that, you know, it started to catch on after COVID. I think it's just going to be more and more with these labor shortages, mm-hmm. right? I think it was born out of the COVID mm-hmm. bubble, but now it's turning more into we don't have the people to do it, or they want so much money to stand, again, at a register. And it's like, well, if you really look at the ROI, you know, over time, mm-hmm. again, the equipment's not cheap, but over a long period of time, right. you know, the human element is a lot more expensive.
If you factor in the labor savings and then you factor in holding more in the arm unit compared to others, your payback happens rather quickly. I mean, the payback on this is less than 4 months.
Wow.
And that's with an average transactions per day that is probably way lower than what typically happens out there. So we tried to stay very conservative with those numbers. But it's very quick payback, and it's because it does hold a lot of inventory. It eliminates the need for someone to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And if you're holding more, you're not refilling it as often, but you're still selling a lot because you can go and refill it every 2 days and sell just as much or more than you would with some of the other equipment having to refill it multiple times a day or even every other day. So it's really, I think it's the capacity of it, the technology of it with the load cells. Those are the two primary things that set it really different than apart than all the other ones that are out there. And then it's just a great performing unit because it has our great refrigeration system in it.
Yeah. Now, can it integrate then with like Seaboard or other
yes.
systems that, you know, mm-hmm. universities, I know that's the biggest, most widely used.
All your declining balance programs it can wow. integrate with. So it can work with any acquirer type merchants where you basically, we typically work with Fiserv or Chase. We hook up to that as the acquirer. And that's what the majority of the payment systems are based on.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also do declining balances. It works with Seaboard, Transact, all those kind of
wow.
back-end office systems that are often seen in the universities and in schools to do declining balance. We've had some good traction with it with some government institutions as well that have just meal plans where you get, you know, you buy a meal plan
yep.
and
uh-huh.
you just go in and take whatever you want.
Yep.
And it just registers the card and takes lots of food come out. So it's got all that background interaction that can happen.
That's usually one of the hardest things to get. Mm-hmm. Most of these autonomous types of equipment, they don't talk to these other systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're very one-dimensional in that facet. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we can take credit cards. And it's like, well, a lot of these kids, they're putting a lot of money onto these cards or balances. Their schools don't want them to potentially use the cash or credit. They
right.
want to use, they want to capture those dollars that are on their card. You don't have to leave campus. All the benefits of having that,
mm-hmm.
that's a big deal. And again, it's, I know when I was in higher ed specifically, that was one of the first things I'd ask. Before I'm like, I don't even want to see, does it talk to the,
just
and
talk.
If they're like, no, I'm like, it's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
It's literally almost a door closer versus a door opener.
Yeah, I think the technology's come a long ways in the last several years with those kind of interactions and connections. But it's a game changer. And if it's not there, it's kind of like table stakes. If you don't have the ability to talk to the existing systems that are there, then you really can't be a part of their partnership. So we made sure that was all there.
So we're talking about this arm. We've got to go over and actually check this thing out. So let's go over and play around with it. All right, let's see this arm. This is a
all
beautiful
right.
piece of equipment. Now I see what you mean now by like the size. Like it's impressively big. It's
yeah.
actually got room for stuff. So kind of walk us through. Customer comes up. What is it that they're going to do when they get to
okay.
the machine?
So before I show you the actual demo of the equipment, let me just point out that there's two pieces of equipment here.
Oh, okay.
And one is non-refrigerated and one is refrigerated, and they are tied together and they're working out from the one payment
nice.
Terminal. So that is possible. As I do a payment transaction and demo this, you're going to see that is when I do my payment, it's going to unlock both doors.
Okay.
So now I've got the flexibility to go from one to the other and have it show up on my payment screen. That's also something that we caution people to say, getting more than two in a lineup like this could be troublesome because now
right.
when you open it, that third door is also unlocked.
Right.
And you're going to have that guy that goes, hey, it's unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go take something. So, all right. So you walk up to the equipment, you touch to begin. You can either do a credit card or you can use the actual Lova app. I'm going to use the actual app. So the machine's telling
wow.
me to open the door. So I open the door, and I can take whatever I want.
Oh, wow. So that's what that load bearing is it knows what
yep.
you've taken
I
out.
I took one. Let's say I take another one. I took two.
Wow.
And then let's say I take one of these. So now people ask us all the time, what if they put it back in the wrong spot? So let's say I don't want this.
Yeah.
And I put it right there. The machine's going to yell at you. You put it in the wrong spot. If I don't go ahead and put it back in the right spot and I walk away, I'll get charged for it.
Oh, okay.
So if I take it back out, put it back where it belongs, it came off the screen.
Very cool.
And then since I'm not going to really buy anything today, I'm just going to put these back. And basically, we'll cancel out the transaction. But you can see that they will go away off the cart. If I had purchased them, all I do is close the door. And then it would say pay. You can tap pay or you just walk away. I'm going to hit cancel here because I'm not actually going to buy anything from it right now. Which gets the transaction off there, relocks the door. And it goes back to the very beginning.
So they could literally go from this side to then be like, okay, well, I want my snack. Let me open this door, get what I need. Finish my transaction, pay, and then the system's gonna close itself up.
Yep,
and,
it's as simple
ready for
as
the
that.
Next person.
Mm-hmm. Simple as that. So as you go along, I closed it. I hit cancel because I wasn't actually taking a transaction out of here. But if you want to go over here, get something else, come back over here, get something else. When you're all done, hit pay, or walk away. The operator can decide how long after walking away that card actually gets charged.
Oh, okay.
So it could be immediate. Obviously, the app or the card that's being used has a preset limit that the operator sets up as well,
right.
So it's already pre-authorizing a certain amount. So it's as simple as that from a transactional standpoint. We have one down in our lobby that I use all the time. I just walk down there, use my card, grab what I want, walk away. It's so fast.
Are you seeing a lot more like of this duel with one cold, one ambient, or is there a specific combo that you're seeing a lot more?
No, we're seeing a lot more of this. Operators use it for fresh food. They're using it for some merchandise. So if you're in a particular, maybe a school, you've got school gear, or there's certain supplies, you can also put that in here. But definitely the combo of refrigerated and ambient. And also on the future docket, frozen. So that, you want...
Yeah, the frozen pizzas, the college space, they've got all those frozen ice cream. There's a whole bunch of things.
Or your hotels that you get in late at.
You
know, you want something a little bit better than maybe...
Well, there's nothing worse than you get in. I get in late. And you go to they've got the food and you go to... And then there's nobody at the desk because they're out doing something because nobody's rummaging around at midnight, 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
That's super cool. I'm assuming you could even put in if I made some prepackaged stuff, like as an operator, and I could load that information in so I could have my own salads or sandwiches, so that way if I don't want just potentially retail products, my own stuff, I could load my own food into the machine too.
You can. You absolutely can. So whether it's a brand specific like this or your salads, when you're doing your salads, you put it in, you load it in the same way, and as you load three pieces in, as you're setting it up for the calibration, it recognizes that there's a variation potentially in those three salad or in that salad, and it starts to understand what that variation is, and that's how it determines the weight. So these obviously have less variation because they're all production and they're brand made, but your salads might have a little bit more variation, but it recognizes that. And then it knows what the weight is. It's very easy to do all of that. You set up your planograms from the back office, you come in here, you basically just go put one in and say, okay, stabilize, put two in, stabilize, put three in. Okay, now it knows the weight, and then you just load the rest of them in.
Wow.
Restocking after that is very simple. All you do is open it up, start putting more in there, and the system recognizes that more is coming in.
Wow.
So it's very, very intuitive.
This is amazing piece of equipment. Thank you so much for walking us through it and showing how easy everyone is making this technology and how accessible it can be for everybody.
Yeah, you're welcome. We appreciate it, and we're excited about what it's going to do for the future.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you can tell the audience about structural concepts that we haven't discussed yet?
I think we've touched base on a lot of different things, but I think the other thing I would say is just, the refrigeration system that we have developed over the years, a couple decades ago for that matter, it's been changing through many years. As the government becomes more involved in setting regulations for all kinds of equipment, including ours, the EPA as it relates to global warming, the DOE as it relates to energy usage, one of the things that we keep striving for is how to change that to make it better. So we are, everything that you'll see in ARM, everything you see new is based on using R290 now, which is propane. That's the requirement, and it's a requirement that the government sets for lots of different equipment. So we're working on that platform, and that brings great energy savings. It brings less cost to the operator, more serviceability, quieter, so you don't hear a lot of the things that you hear before. So we're always evolving as it comes to refrigeration and even heat for that matter, but we certainly do a lot more refrigeration. We're always evolving to like what's next and staying on that leading edge as it relates to refrigeration changes that might be happening from the government or what's being imposed upon us, to just trends that are happening in the industry overall.
So what is next? What is, if you can, can give, but what is kind of on the horizon?
I think technology is certainly going to play into the future of a lot of different things. Being smarter, integrating AI, you know, that stuff is what's coming next for a lot of manufacturers and the industry overall, the food industry. You're so used to, it's an operator, you know, it's a piece of equipment. You buy it, it sits there, you sell from it, you hopefully are making some good money from it, but it needs to become more interactive. It needs to be more autonomous. It needs to be smarter in many ways, and I think that's what's on the leading edge of what's coming out in the future. There will be all kinds of new opportunities for new types of displays, but making them smarter so that they're not just sitting there is really what it's all about. Data, you know, understanding what's selling out of that piece of equipment, what you need to do and what you need to change as an operator to sell more. That's all that smartness that you'll see coming out of us and others, I'm sure.
Data drives decisions.
Data drives decisions.
If you don't have data, forget about it.
Yeah.
Let's dig into the weeds. This is my favorite part here, where I just shoot off a couple rapid fire questions, and Pat doesn't even know what these were. So these are just fun, to have some fun. We're up here in Muskegon, Michigan. Mm-hmm. What's a must-go-to? Is there a must-go-to in this? We don't have to label it to just Muskegon, but this area. Is there
the
a place?
Lake.
The lake?
You have to go to the lake. I mean, Lake Michigan is awesome. There's nothing in there that will eat you. The waves aren't too big. It's fresh water. And if you're going to be in Muskegon, you definitely have to go to Lake Michigan.
Any place to eat particular that's right here on the lake?
There's a few restaurants on the lake. One, there's a really casual restaurant called The Deck. I'll put a plug in for them. That's a fun place to go. Lots of concerts, lots of music. Of course, summertime is when they're primarily the busiest, but lots of great food. So I would say that. And, you know, the other part would be, there's some great places in great restaurants, even in the Spring Lake area. We have a lot of inland lakes along this side of Lake Michigan that people can go and visit as an inland lake, but also get out to Lake Michigan.
Nice.
So
very nice.
I know you're from Chicago. You probably see the other side of the lake.
Yep, quite a bit.
But this side is pretty cool.
It is. I've been up this way a few times, and the drive, seeing a little bit of it. It's a nice scenery. We'll say that for sure. All right. You're stranded on a desert island and can only bring three marketing tools. What are they?
Three marketing tools. Well, I probably would, I don't know what kind of tool this is, but I would definitely bring my research resources with me, because I got to make sure I can figure out like how to survive on this island, right?
Okay.
So I got to research a lot of things, like, you know, maybe I got to figure out what to do with a coconut or something like that. So I would bring that. And then I would say the other marketing tool that most of us marketing people really have is being very creative. So I would probably be bringing my creativity, but I wouldn't necessarily need any computers to do that, because what am I going to do with them? But I got to be creative about how I'm going to survive again. So I'd make sure that's with me, that tool is with me. And then the third one, I can't think of anything right this second.
That's okay. If the two are strong enough.
Right. I think I could survive.
You could survive?
Yeah. I could figure out what to do with a coconut.
Awesome. If you could leave one legacy behind here at Structural Concepts, what would it be?
I would say I would like to leave behind a Structural Concept, so my legacy of the leadership, in leadership. Being able to have a vision of what to do, where to go next, and how to rally the teams together to make that happen.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So where does the audience go to find out more about Structural Concepts, get one of these beautiful pieces of equipment? Mm-hmm. Where do they go?
Go to www.structuralconcepts.com. You'll see a great website that our marketing team has built. Very interactive, lots of great information. And of course, we're also on LinkedIn as well. So if you follow us on LinkedIn and you check out the website, you're going to get a wealth of information.
Awesome. I know you can also check out probably a local dealer or brokerage or something along those natures. They usually are pretty good at helping navigate some of the waters.
Yeah, definitely. If there's things of interest, we work with all the dealers in the food service industry. We have manufacturers representative across all of the countries. So even though we're in Muskegon, there's somebody in Illinois that can help you locally or wherever you're at. So that's definitely a place to go to. But check out the website first so you can see what you're looking for and maybe have a little bit of direction before you make those calls.
Awesome. Well, you heard it first. You got to see some awesome refrigeration units up here in the Structural Concepts kitchen, their innovation showroom. And until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.